Off the ball. Rugby.
It's a more appealing game to watch, for example, New Zealand and Ireland, South Africa, because of the way South Africa, you know what I mean, brilliantly tactically set up to win games.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Monday's Football Daily. My name is Phil Egan. Coming up, reaction to Ireland's 5-0 humbling at the hands of England at Wembley. Manager Hamir Halgrimsson will discuss his players giving up after Liam Scales' red card and Mark McGuinness on a bittersweet debut. And Lee Carsley on what he's learned about himself during his time in charge of England. But first, last night's 5-0 loss was Ireland's heaviest ever competitive defeat to England, their biggest since that 6-1 drubbing at the hands of Germany in 2012, and the first time they've conceded 5 away from home since that disastrous night in Cyprus 18 years ago.
Look, nothing can make today all right, but maybe we can take some comfort from the brutal reality that the weak must make way for the strong.
Here is Bellingham, getting in behind, chopping back, Liam Scales brings him down, that's a penalty.
In the blink of an eye, the whole game changes. Yellow card, red card, England have fallen into a position of strength.
We probably lost our heads at this moment, leading into a second goal and a third goal. And from there, you can see we gave up.
Evolution marches on. The scythe is remorseless.
Leading in towards... Oh, Dallas! Oh, hello! What a debut! Off the bench to score by England. Even Roy Keane.
Not everybody knows that is your future son-in-law.
Yeah, it's not done and dusted yet. Things can change very quickly in the Keane house call, let me tell you.
Sides remorseless.
5-0 England.
I hope the sides remorseless swing can bring some comfort to you all. Okay.
It all began pretty brightly with Hamir Halgrimsson's side frustrating their hosts. And they also had a claim for a penalty in the first half. Evan Ferguson was brought to the ground by his jersey by Crystal Palace defender Mark Gahey. Not that we knew at the time, but Liam Scales booking 2 minutes before the break would prove crucial. With just over 5 minutes of the second half gone, the Celtic defender took the legs from under Jude Bellingham after he latched onto a pass from Harry Kane. Kane scored from the spot, Scales was shown a second yellow card, and Ireland's reduction to 10 men sparked a collapse. Anthony Gordon and Conor Gallagher each found the net within 5 minutes of the penalty. Substitute Jared Bowen made it 4 with his first touch of the game, while Taylor Harwood-Bella scored a debut goal with 11 minutes to play. After the game, Halgrimsson spoke with Nathan.
Hamer, how do you explain what happened in that second half?
Well, I'm kind of lost for words. 6 minutes of kind of madness. It was a shock. Conceding a penalty, conceding a goal, losing a player. We probably lost our heads at this moment, leading into a second goal and a third goal. And from there, you can see we maybe lost our head, gave up. We've talked, and I said before, we're struggling with confidence, and it clearly took away all confidence from what we did really well in the first half. You cannot explain things like this. It just happens, slap in the face, and it was difficult to come back from it.
Is it worrying though, as a manager, you're sitting here talking about players giving up, losing their heads?
Second.
Is it worrying as a manager that something like that can happen, that players give up, that they lose their heads?
Yeah, it's easy to sit or stand on the sideline and criticise, you know, after the first half, coming in our first half, you know, it's a game like we wanted it to be, you know, we're defending compact, they didn't find ways to play through us, and then coming in second half so early, conceding the goal, losing a player, conceding another one. It's easy to criticise when you're standing outside or watching the game from the stands. I think in a way it's normal, but look, excuses when you lose 5-0 is kind of pathetic to be excusing or talking about positives. It's embarrassing to lose 5-0.
It was always going to be a game where you probably struggled to create chances. So that moment in the first half when Evan Ferguson went down and the penalty wasn't given, have you watched it back? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty for sure. We asked, I don't remember what the referees said, why they didn't give it, but of course that would have changed the momentum in the game. But again, I don't want to make excuses. But first half was good. Let's take that as a positive, building this team forward. We need to play teams like England that probably have better players than us. And first half gave us an idea how we can play against teams like that.
And the manager was asked to clarify what he meant by players giving up.
No, I mean, we kind of lost what we were doing in the first half. Maybe it's too harsh to say give up, but like I said, it's easy to criticise when you're not playing the game. We had a game plan, it was working perfectly, and all of a sudden in 6 minutes, there's no way out. It's 3-0, one man down against a good team like England. So it's kind of a shock, and I didn't feel that we had any way out from there, and it was just limit the damage as much as we could.
One of the first half positives was Nathan Collins operating between defence and midfield. Halgrimson was asked if it's something he's had in mind for a while.
Yeah, I thought that worked, that set up the tactics we play first half against a good team like England. I think it fits the profile of the players we were using. And it fits the way England is playing. They have players dropping into that zone. It's like we knew Harry Kane was playing. That's his style of play. He kind of drags the centre-backs away. Now we had kind of a centre-back in that space, so he covered really well these runs. And they didn't play in the first half through our block. They needed to go outside, a little bit like when we played Greece. They played outside of our block, and then I think we didn't create a lot of opportunities to score. We didn't use the time we won the ball. We didn't use that well, but I think it was a try worth taking, and let's see if we build on that.
Proved to be a difficult Ireland debut for Slough-born Mark McGuinness. The Luton defender also spoke to Nathan after the match.
Mark, a bittersweet day, I'd imagine. A lot of pride in making your international debut, but not the way you would have wanted it.
Yeah, look, it's mixed feelings for myself. Obviously, a really proud moment for me and my family. But obviously, the result. It was really disappointing. I think everyone was very deflated in the manner in which we lost as well. But look, got to take away the positives, and for me personally, a really big achievement.
When did you find out you were going to be starting?
It was a few days before he sort of pulled me to the side and had a little quick chat. But again, you know, you never know until the team sheet's up. So that was only last night. So it was really, really proud moment for me and my family.
It was quite a significant tactical shift as well, with Nathan Collins sort of playing as a number six and then dropping back. Did you get much time in the training ground to work on all that?
Look, it's a short window. We had two games in a week, so time on the pitch was limited, but I think the boys can adapt to anything. I think with the culture and the sort of players we've got, anyone can do a job anywhere. That's the nature of our group, and it worked. I thought it worked for the majority of the game. Obviously, then tactics had to change, but I think it just shows the diversity in the group and what we can do. And you know, I think with the players we've got, anyone can play anywhere.
What's going through your head in those mad 5 minutes as Liam Scales gets sent off and you can see the three goals?
Yes, I think it was one of those ones where it does change the game, obviously. The way we set up and how solid we were to then concede, and then it's a long uphill battle from there to try and get a goal back. And obviously with a man down to change formation, takes a bit of getting used to, and look, they punished us. It was simple as that.
It's still very fresh, but is there anything when you reflect you feel you could have done differently in the moments afterwards? Because the manager was saying about maybe heads were going a little bit and heads went down quite quickly.
Yeah, look, if I could play the game back, we probably would do a few things differently. But I think it's a lesson for us. When things don't go our way, obviously things aren't going to go well our way all the time. So we've got to get back, be solid, regroup for the next 5-10 minutes, just sort of let the mad rush go, and then we're building it from there.
Finally, you'll find out on Friday who you're playing in the playoff. Can you park the final 40 minutes and remember the good stuff from the first 50 minutes, or is that an incredibly difficult thing to do?
Obviously, it's very difficult in the moment now, speaking to you after the game. But it's a mixture. We got to learn from it. We got to watch it. We got to watch that second half and nitpick a few bits and bobs that we need to work on. But ultimately, we need to look at the first half as well and bring in the positives from that.
Lee Carsey will hand over the reins to Thomas Tuchel, having restored England's League A status. The former Ireland international revealed what he's learned about the team and himself during his six-game spell.
You know, I spoke about it in the first camp about like the comfort zone. So I've definitely felt like I've been out of my comfort zone, and I think it's, but not beyond what my capabilities. I think it's, you know, it's, I've never felt at any point that I was drowning or I was struggling. You know, I've took the confidence that not only myself but the rest of the staff that, you know, we're okay, we'll be fine. I think we've probably got stronger as the windows have gone, in terms of September, October and finishing in November, which has probably been our strongest window and our probably most competitive one. So in terms of, you know, you always learn a lot about yourself when you're in a position that you're not used to. I think the most pleasing thing is obviously the younger players coming through, which I'm sure a lot of you now have seen for yourselves in an England shirt, the quality that they've got. But the most one of the most pleasing things is the way that the senior players have reacted to a new coach, even though it was from a short-term point of view. The respect that myself and the rest of the staff have been shown, we've tried to change things, we've tried to change or adapt or move on the style and the way that we play, the way that the control, the amount of possession we have, the amount of chances we create. We've tried to do all these kind of things, and there's been no resistance to that. If anything, they've took them on board what we're trying to do. But I think it helps that they've obviously watched and seen the 21s and the way that the 21s try and control and score goals. And so, yeah, I think it's important then that myself and the staff now spend a good couple of days thinking about the three camps and what we could have done better. I'm still gutted about the Greece game at home. I still, you know, even though we've won five of the six, you know, I straight away go to the game that I think we should have won at Wembley. You know, it's definitely a lonely place in that dugout when you're not winning at Wembley. So, but we'll keep improving and keep pushing the players and ourselves.
Carsey will now provide a detailed debrief to Tuchel and was asked what will be included.
I'm trying to put together, along with the rest of the staff, we'll debrief the three camps, not just this camp. So, I'll put together a document and then I'll hopefully go meet him and almost present what we think and what we found. And you know, the job is for us as an under 21 staff is to support the senior manager as much as we can. So find out what he needs and how we can help. And you know, I'm really comfortable as the rest of the staff are with that role. So yeah, I look forward to meeting him now in the next few weeks.
Looking at some of the action elsewhere last night in League A, Adrian Rabiot scored two headers for France. He beat Italy 3-1 at the San Siro, which saw them overtake the Azzurri and win Group A2. Italy would have finished top if they lost by only one goal, and Andrea Cambiaso's volley gave them hope. Both sides already knew before the match they'd play in the quarterfinals in March. Belgium lost 1-0 to Israel but avoided automatic relegation to League B because of their better head-to-head record against last night's opponents. More injury worries for Arsenal. Leandro Trossard was taken off in the first half of that game in Budapest. Norway will be in League A during the next Nations League. Erling Haaland's fourth hat-trick for his country helped them to a 5-0 win at home to Kazakhstan. It's 25 hat-tricks in his career already. Norway finished 2 points ahead of Austria, who were in the box seat going into the final round of games, but they were held to a 1-1 draw by Slovenia in Vienna. Austria would have finished top with a win. They paid the price for not getting that second goal. Ralf Rangnick's side conceded inside the last 10 minutes. Armenia ensured they'll be one of Ireland's potential playoff opponents, winning 2-1 away to Latvia, who will be relegated to League D. North Macedonia finished a promotion campaign with a 1-0 win against the Faroe Islands. Tonight, Northern Ireland will look to secure promotion to League B. Michael O'Neill's side will top the group if they get a win or a draw away to Luxembourg. But if Northern Ireland were to lose, that would open the door for Bulgaria, who are at home to Belarus. In League A, Scotland need to beat Poland in Warsaw to secure a playoff to stay in the top tier, or they could reach the quarterfinals. Group winners Portugal are away to second place Croatia. If Scotland win and Croatia lose, then Scotland will be in the quarterfinals. Spain have already wrapped up top spot in Group 4 in Ligue 1. The European champions host Switzerland, who are without a win in the group, and they're already relegated. Big game in Belgrade, though. Serbia played Denmark. The Danes just need to avoid defeat to finish second. But if Serbia win, they go into the quarterfinals. Also in Ligue D tonight, Liechtenstein are at home to San Marino. San Marino can top the group ahead of Gibraltar with a win. If they draw, they'll go into the playoffs. Liechtenstein are bottom of the group, but they can leapfrog San Marino with the win. All those games I mentioned kick off at 7:45. Everton picked up their first win of the season in the WSL with a 1-0 win over Liverpool at Goodison Park in the Merseyside Derby. Courtney Brosnan was in fine form to keep a clean sheet. The game was decided by a controversial penalty. The foul clearly took place outside the box, but Everton boss Brian Sorensen says it's about time they had some luck.
So proud of the girls, they really deserve it. You know, we've been so unfortunate, unlucky this season, and today, I think it was a bit on our side, but we also really gave everything that we had. Everyone left, everything on the pitch.
Aston Villa also got a first win of the season in the WSL. They beat Crystal Palace 3-2 and Manchester United won 2-0 away to Leicester. And Neymar's agent insists the player is happy and determined to stay with Al Hilal. He'll be 33 in a couple of months' time. A combination of knee ligament and hamstring injuries have restricted the Brazilian to just 7 appearances for the Saudi club. His contract there runs until June. Rumours had swirled regarding a potential return to Brazil, possibly with his boyhood club Santos. However, Pini Sahavi, Neymar's agent, is quoted as saying there are no talks ongoing for Neymar to leave Al Hilal. He's under contract and very happy there.